Hello and welcome to the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And we are covering the week of from October 12th to October 18th. And this is our second week of playoffs, our third week of playoffs, and this is our baseball show. We are the Cutoff Man, the Cutoff Man from the sport to the fans directly. And this week we had the championship series, which is a best of seven series. So the first team, the four wins, will move on to the World Series. A little reminder, there are no days off in this series, just eight straight days of playoff baseball because there's no travel. Now that I've got you caught up with all of the background information, let's get straight into these incredible games, and let's start with the ALCS, American League Championship Series. The visiting Houston Astros battle the home team Tampa Bay Rays going into the week. Game one has already been completed, and I recapped that last week. So let's dive into game two. The Astros started Lance McCullers, who pitched seven innings with four hits, four runs, and one earned run and 11 strikeouts. The Rays have Charlie Morton start for game two, and he goes five innings pitch with five hits, zero earned runs, and five strikeouts. The Rays offense strikes first as Manuel Margot hits a three-run homer, and the Astros gain a little bit of ground when Carlos Correa hits a solo homer of his own. Then Mike Zunino of the Rays hits his own solo homer, and the Astros try to come back as George Springer drives in a run, but he grounds into a double play, and the Rays win this game 2-4. In game three, the Astros started Jose Urquidy, who pitched five innings with four hits, two runs, one earned run, and four strikeouts. Ryan Yarbrough got the start for the Rays, and he went five innings pitch with three hits, two earned runs, and five strikeouts. Jose Altuve starts the show with a solo homer for the Astros. Then Joey Wendell of the Rays singles and drives in two runs. Later in this inning, Willie Adames of the Rays is hit by a pitch, and that scores a run. Then Hunter Renfroe doubles and drives in two for the Rays. Michael Brantley homers for the Astros, but that isn't enough. And the Astros lose this game as well. They've lost the first three games of this series. Let's see if they can turn it around and win a game. In game four, the Astros started Zach Greinke, and he went six innings pitch, allowing five hits, two earned runs, and he got seven strikeouts. The Rays started Tyler Glasnow, who pitched six innings with eight hits, four earned runs, and five strikeouts. Jose Altuve homers in this game as well. He's got three homers in this series. The Astros are up, and they're up 1-0, but in the third inning, Jose Altuve doubles, adds another run for the Astros. Then Randy Arozarena, you're going to hear a lot about him, homers for the Rays and tied the game. George Springer hits a two-run homer for the Astros, and Willie Adames doubles for the Rays, drives in a run, but that's not enough as the Astros win this game 3-4 and stay in this series. Now let's go to game five, where the Astros start Luis Garcia. He pitched two innings with zero hits, zero runs, and one strikeout, and he hands it off to the bullpen. And the Rays started John Curtis, who pitched two and one-thirds innings pitch with one hit, one earned run, and three strikeouts. The Rays go to the bullpen day as well, and the Astros strike first as George Springer hits a solo homer. Brandon Lowe of the Rays hits his own solo homer. Then Michael Brantley doubles to drive in two for the Astros. Randy Arozarena hits a solo homer for the Rays, and G-Man Choi hits a homer for the Rays as well, and that ties the game, but Carlos Correa ends it all in the ninth with a walk-off homer to win this game for the Astros. There will be a game six and maybe even one more as the Astros win 3-4 in game six. The Astros started Framber Valdez, a star who went six innings, pitched with three hits, one earned run, and six strikeouts. Blake Snell got the start for the Rays, and he went four innings pitch with three hits, two earned runs, and four strikeouts. The Rays strike first as Willie Adames doubles to drive in a run, but the Astros answer back as George Springer doubles and drives in two runs, but they're not done yet because they're going to double and score another run. Carlos Correa singles to drive in a run as well. Kyle Tucker homers to score a run for the Astros. Then Michael Brantley singles to drive in another. Kyle Tucker hits a sac fly. In comes another run. The Rays do score a tad bit as Manuel Margot hits a home run in the seventh. hits another home run in the eighth, but that is not enough. It's 7-4. Rays lose, and there's going to be a game seven. And for that game, the Astros starter Lance McCullers, who went 3 2/3 innings pitched with 4 hits, 3 earned runs, and 7 strikeouts. Charlie Morton got the start for the Rays, who had 5 2/3 innings pitched with 2 hits, 0 runs, and 6 strikeouts. The Rays strike first in this as Randy Arozarena hits a 2-run homer in the first, and in the second inning, Mike Zunino adds to the damage and hits another solo homer for the Rays. And later in the sixth, Zunino hits a sack fly to drive in another run. The Rays are up 4-0. The Astros do score an 8th as Carlos Correa singles to drive in 2 runs. That's not enough as the Rays win this game and move on to the World Series. Let's see who joins them later. But now let's get to our second and final series of the week. We have the NLCS, in which the visiting Atlanta Braves take on the home team Los Angeles Dodgers in Game 1. The Braves started Max Fried, who pitched 6 innings with 4 hits, 1 earned run, and 9 strikeouts. And the Dodgers started Walker Buehler, who went 5 innings pitched with 3 hits, 1 earned run, and 7 strikeouts. Now let's get to the first inning of this game, where Freddie Freeman hits a solo home run for the Braves, and Kike Hernandez answers back for the Dodgers and hits a solo homer to tie the game in the 5th inning. The score stays tied until the 9th, when Austin Riley homers for the Braves, and Marcell Ozuna singles and drives in a run. But that's not all, because Ozzie Albies hits a 2-run homer, and the Braves win 5-1 in Game 2. Ian Anderson gets the start for the Braves and goes 4 innings pitched with 1 hit, 0 earned runs, and 5 strikeouts. Clayton Kershaw was scheduled to start this game, but he had back spasms, so they go to Tony Gonsolin, who started this game for the Dodgers, 4 2 1/3 innings pitch with 3 hits, 5 earned runs, and 7 strikeouts. The Braves strike in the 4th inning as Freddie Freeman hits a 2-run homer, and Christian Pache doubles and drives in a run for the Braves. Later on in this game, Freddie Freeman singles, drives in another run. Travis d'Arnaud walks, and that scores a run, and Ozzie Albies hits a sack fly to bring in a run for the Braves. Dansby Swanson hit into a ground rule double and drove in a run for the Braves as well. Then Corey Seager hits a 3-run homer, and Ozzie Albies hits a solo homer in this game too, but the Dodgers start to score a little more. They get on a roll as Corey Seager doubles and scores a run, and Max Muncy hits a 2-run homer, and Cody Bellinger triples and drives in a run, but the Dodgers aren't able to score enough in this game and lose 8-7 in Game 3. The Braves started Kyle Wright, and he got roughed up. He pitched 2/3 of an inning, allowing 5 hits, 7 runs, and got 0 strikeouts. Julio Urias started this game for the Dodgers and pitched 5 innings with 3 hits, 1 earned run, and 5 strikeouts. The Dodgers start this game swinging as Corey Seager doubles to drive in a run. Then Will Smith doubled to drive in a run as well. And Jock Peterson hits a 3-run homer, as well as Edwin Rios hits a solo homer for the Dodgers. Then Corey Seager singles to drive in a run. Now we go to Max Muncy, who hits the grand slam for the Dodgers. Scored 11 runs in this inning. That's a record, folks. In the next inning, Cody Bellinger hits a solo home run. Then Corey Seager hits a homer later in this game, and Will Smith grounds out and brings in a run for the Dodgers. Cody Bellinger drives in another run with a single, and Christian Pache of the Braves hits a solo home run, and Austin Riley grounds out, drives in a run. Johan Camargo doubles to drive in a run for the Braves, but they lose the game 15-3. Now let's go to Game 4, where the Braves started Bryce Wilson, who pitched 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 earned run, and 5 strikeouts. He's 22 years old, and the Dodgers start Clayton Kershaw, who went 5 innings pitched with 7 hits, 4 earned runs, and 4 strikeouts. The Dodgers score first in this game as Edwin Rios hits a solo homer, and Marcell Ozuna ties it up for the Braves with his own solo homer, and the Braves rally in the 6th as Freddie Freeman doubles to drive in a run. Then Marcell Ozuna doubles to bring in another, and Dansby Swanson joins the party, doubles himself to drive in 2 runs, and Austin Riley and Christian Pache both single to drive in 1 run each, and Edwin Rios carries the Dodger offense this game with a sack fly and scored a run. But that's all the Dodgers get as Marcell Ozuna homers, then Freddie Freeman adds to the damage with a single to drive in a run, and Marcell Ozuna singles to drive in another. And the Braves are going to win this game. Now let's go to Game 5, where the Braves started A.J. Minger, and he does great. He has a good start. And the Braves start and score first and hit a sack fly from Travis d'Arnaud, which drives in a run. Then Christian Pache drives in another run for the Braves with an RBI single. The Dodgers score some runs of their own as Corey Seager homers and Will Smith homers. And Mookie Betts singles to drive in a run. But Corey Seager hits another home run for the Dodgers, and they have the lead. Travis d'Arnaud grounds out but drives in a run. That's not enough as the Braves lose. And we go to Game 6. The Dodgers start Walker Buehler, who went 6 innings pitched, 7 hits, 0 runs, and 6 strikeouts. The Braves start Max Fried, who pitched 6 innings, 8 with 8 hits, 3 earned runs, and 4 strikeouts. The Dodgers get out to an early lead in the first innings with back-to-back homers from Seager and Justin Turner. Then Cody Bellinger singles to drive in a run. The Braves don't score until the 7th inning, when Ronald Acuna doubles to drive in a run. That's all they can muster for this game. The Dodgers win 3-1 to force a Game 7. Let's get right into it. The Dodgers started Dustin May, who pitched 1 inning with 1 hit, 1 earned run, and 1 strikeout. He gets in a little trouble. And the Braves started with Ian Anderson, who went 3 innings pitched with 5 hits and 2 earned runs and 2 strikeouts. Gets in his own trouble. But the Braves score in the first as Marcell Ozuna scores to singles to drive in a run, and Dansby Swanson hits the solo homer in the second, and the Braves are up 2-0, and the Dodgers score as Will Smith singles to drive in 2 runs to tie the game in the third. And in the fourth, Austin Riley singles to drive in a run. It's 3-2 Braves, but it's only a matter of time, and Kike Hernandez hits a pitch hit homer to tie it in the sixth. But that's not all, because in the seventh inning, Cody Bellinger hits a solo homer to bring the Dodgers the lead, and the Braves don't get any more runs. They don't score anymore, and the Dodgers take Game 7 4-3 as they move on to the World Series, folks. Yep, the stage is set, and we will talk about that later, but that's all the games we got for this week. We got some great ones. Now let's go straight to the break. But right after that, I'll tell you all about the storylines. We'll say bye-bye to two more teams, and we'll talk about who won the MVPs for the ALCS and the NLCS, and we will be right back. Remember, this is the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Oh yeah, we are back with the Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Now let's get into our storylines and what's going on this week. And first, let's say bye-bye to our two teams that were eliminated this week. Let's start with our first team, who was eliminated this week. That's the Houston Astros. The Astros took the Rays to a Game 7 after losing the first 3 games of the series. The Astros entered the playoffs as the 6th seed in the American League and had a losing record below 500. But their path in the playoffs saw them face off against the Minnesota Twins in the Wild Card Series, who they swept. And then they took down division rival Oakland A's in the American League Divisional Series while losing only one game. Their pitching staff is filled with lots of young talent and a few veterans. Their ace, Justin Verlander, was out for the season with a season-ending injury that required Tommy John surgery. So they didn't even have their best pitcher in the playoffs, and they were on a roll. Zach Greinke didn't have his best season, put up a 4.03 ERA in the 2020 regular season, but he was still able to help his team make a quality run in the playoffs. Framber Valdez, a major piece of this starting rotation, and he had a lot of quality outings in the playoffs. He kind of helped carry this pitching staff for a bit, but he had a lot of help from Lance McCullers, who had some quality playoff starts as well. Christian Javier, Jose Urquidy, all key parts of this rotation. And a lot of young guys that were doing really good in the offense was also putting together some great performances, such as Carlos Correa, George Springer, Jose Altuve, and Michael Brantley. That is the top of their lineup, and that is a tough lineup to overcome, and the Rays barely did. They took them to Game 7 and were able to keep that lineup at bay in that game, but they were able to steamroll through two excellent teams and had better records than them, and they surprised a lot of people in the playoffs. This offense steamrolled through opposing teams and helped them lead them to the ALCS. They had a good bullpen with Ryan Presley, had a few people who were injured or opted out, but they were pretty good this season. But in Game 7, their offense couldn't get to Charlie Morton, but they did manage to score two runs against the Rays bullpen, which is an excellent bullpen. They did lose, but we will see them next season. So bye-bye, Houston Astros. See you next season. Our next and last team to be eliminated this week are the Atlanta Braves, who went on to a Game 7 against the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Braves started out hot against the Dodgers, winning the first two games of the series, going up 3-1 as well. But they weren't able to stop the Dodgers from coming back, and they got on a steamroll and took it to them. The Braves swept their first two series in the playoffs. First series was against the Cincinnati Reds. Excellent pitching matchups there. They were able to just get on top. The offense was not producing as much as it should, or as much as it could, really. It's a really good offense, and they just couldn't put it together for that series. And they went to extra innings in there as well. And they ended up sweeping the Marlins in the next series. The offense came alive, and it really woke up because it needed to face this Dodgers pitching to staff and rotation, which is amazing. And those first two games, they really came out swinging in some great games, and the offense was very good, talented, consisting of Ronald Acuna Jr., Freddie Freeman, Marcell Ozuna, and Ozzie Albies. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I can name this whole lineup for you, and there's going to be so many guys that are doing great. Travis d'Arnaud with a great season. He was in the cleanup hole, number four in the fourth hole for the Braves. He was doing great for them as a catcher. Catchers aren't known as the biggest offensive presence, but he was in the four hole batting cleanup for a team like this. Dansby Swanson was doing great for them, pretty good. But their bullpen was also very productive with Mark Melancon and Chris Martin. The Braves starting rotation was also very productive with Max Fried, who is a Cy Young candidate, probably be top five, top three. Ian Anderson, young stud, and Kyle Wright, they had a few good starts in between them. But in Game 4 of the NLCS, Bryce Wilson even had a great start, which I told you about earlier. He's only 22 years old, and he's got a lot of potential. And you could say the same thing about this whole team, a lot of potential. They could be a juggernaut in the coming seasons after this one. He's got to add a few more pieces, and we'll talk about them for a lot more in this podcast. But now let's go to AJ Minter, who even started Game 5 of the NLCS and had a good start. And he's a bullpen guy. He did great. And the Braves, don't forget this, they didn't even have their ace this year. Mike Soroka, who was out of the year because of a season-ending injury, which is terrible. And imagine if they would have had that ace, that would have been great. You could say the same thing about the Astros too. They didn't even have Yordan Alvarez, who was one of the best guys out of their offense last year, who was very good, had a great rookie season. Let's get back to the Braves, as they had a good start from AJ Minter. He did very good, didn't have their ace, and at the beginning of the season, their rotation looked completely different. That starting rotation, it consisted of, it was supposed to be Mike Soroka going to Max Fried, to Fulton Awitz, to Cole Hamels, to Felix Hernandez. Felix Hernandez was having a good spring training. They were looking forward to him having a great season, but he opts out, understandably. Cole Hamels gets injured, has a rough start, a few rough starts on the way back, so he's out. Fulton Awitz can't find his velocity, so they have to designate him for assignment. Not looking good for the Braves, but they put it together. Max Fried, great season. Already talked about him. All these guys I mentioned, Kyle Wright, Bryce Wilson had a good start. Ian Anderson, they did a lot, and they just got to go out there and get some more pitching, and they'll be a great team, maybe another offensive guy. But they had a very competitive season. But they were eliminated in the 2020 playoffs by the Dodgers. It's a great team to be eliminated by. Very talented, as well as the Braves. But they're going to be competitive next season. So bye-bye, Braves. Now let's get to the fun stuff with Ozzie Albies and Mark Melancon. This is game one and game two of the NLCS. Because in back-to-back nights, Ozzie Albies hits two home runs, or one home run each night, to the Braves bullpen, both caught by Mark Melancon. It was great. Catches it, spreads both arms so wide, just spreading the love between teammates. They're up 2-0 in that series, feeling good at the moment. Catches up to them later, but that's some fun teammate action. Now let's get to more of our storyline stuff, where Randy Arozarena, our first rookie position player to ever win an ALCS MVP. Yep, he's the first. He did it. He is great. He's been almost carrying this Rays lineup. I wouldn't say exactly carrying, because they have some guys. Zunino's been doing good. And they have guys who can produce. But Randy Arozarena, amazing this series. So many homers. I think he has 7. And the most homers in the postseason, I believe, is 8. So he's getting up there. He is amazing. Doing great. Now Corey Seager wins the NLCS MVP for the Dodgers. That is very impressive as well. He's been having a good season and a great playoff run. And I want to get into the Dodgers, who in Game 7 of the NLCS, they used 3 starting pitchers. They really needed it. They wanted it. And the pitchers they had pitching in Game 7, almost all these guys were either pitchers in new roles or new pitchers that they got from the offseason. Bruce Star Gratterall did amazing. He throws 101 like it's nothing. It is insane. Bruce Star Gratterall break. Blake Treinen. Julio Urias goes 3 innings to end the game for them. Dustin May starts and goes to Tony Gonsolin. These are all more rookies or newer guys that are having great roles and could be the future of this team. And it's looking good for the Dodgers going into the World Series. But next we have the White Sox, who fired their manager Rick Renteria. That is a very competitive team that's going to go into the offseason needing a manager. Looks like they're interviewing Tony La Russa, who's with the Angels, so they gave permission for him to interview, I believe. So that might be pretty interesting, but they have lots of options, and that's a very competitive team looking for a manager that's going to bring them to the World Series. That is the goal. Young, competitive, talented. I can say use so many adjectives for this team. Amazing. I can keep going, but I won't. So, and that's it for the storylines for this week. That's all we got for this week. A little slow. So let's get into our next break. And so after the break, we're going to talk about our personal players of the week. Get a special visit from Pablo the Pigeon, as always. And we'll talk about our players to watch for in the World Series. And of course, Pablo's pick. Can never forget about Pablo's pick. So remember, this is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And we're going to talk about our personal players of the week. And you all know of Pablo the Pigeon. Pablo is never tardy to the party. He's been here for 2 hours in advance to me, getting ready to record this. So he's waiting. I will call him with my trusty pigeon flute that only pigeons can hear on very low frequency. You could maybe hear just a little bit of it. So I will call Pablo right now. Yes, thank you, Pablo. He is here, and he has given us Pablo's pick, the personal players of the week and our players to watch for in the World Series. Thank you, Pablo. Now let's get into our personal players of the week. Let's start with the American League. He's from the Rays. He is Randy Arozarena, a left fielder, and I just couldn't resist picking Randy Arozarena. Amazing. I'll tell you why. In the 2020 postseason, Randy has a batting average of .382 with an OPS of 1.288. In the regular season, he had a batting average of .281, an OPS of 1.022, an OPS plus of 179, above average. Amazing. In the regular season, in 64 at-bats, Randy had 7 home runs. In the postseason, Randy has had 59 at-bats. That is less than 64 at-bats. You know how many home runs he had? 7 home runs. That's right. He had even less at-bats than he did in the regular season. He already has 7 home runs. He has as many home runs in the playoffs than he does in the regular season. That's tied. That's amazing. He had 4 home runs in the ALCS. Insane, Randy Arozarena. Amazing. That's why he's our guy. He's our personal player of the week. And he's probably everybody's player of the week for the AL. Randy having a playoff run. Now let's go to the National League. And I will pick Mookie Betts for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He had 3 great defensive plays. Robbed a home run on Sunday. Made a little scoop play. He is amazing, saving runs all day, because that is what Mookie does. In the 2020 postseason, Mookie has had a batting average of .311. That is amazing, with an OPS of 0.852. In the regular season, he had a batting average of .292, an OPS of 0.927, an OPS plus of 149. Pretty good. And yes, Mookie is doing good. He's going to help try and lead this Dodgers team to a World Series championship. So let's see if he can do it. But before that, let's talk about our players to watch for in the World Series. See, we started with our players to watch for next week. Then we went to our players to watch for in the playoffs and so on and so forth. And we are here. It is the World Series. Yes, so we have chosen 2 pitchers and 2 position players, which are hitters from each team. So we got 4 guys on each team to talk about. So that's 8 guys in total. Love math. Now let's get to the pitchers of the Rays. I like to talk about Charlie Morton, a starting pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. In his last outing, Charlie pitched 5 2/3 innings pitch with 4 hits, 4 runs, 2 hits, 0 runs, and 6 strikeouts. In the postseason in 2020, Charlie had 15 2/3 innings pitch with an ERA of 0.57 and a whip of 0.96. 17 strikeouts in 3 games. Oh gosh, that's amazing. In the regular season, Charlie had an ERA of 4.74, coming off an injury, whip of 1.39, 42 strikeouts in 38 innings pitched. Let's get to Pete Fairbanks, a relief pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, who closed out Game 7 of the ALCS for the Rays in the 2020 postseason. Pete has had 8 1/3 innings pitched with an ERA of 2.16, pretty good, a whip of 1.20, and 13 strikeouts in the regular season. Pete has had an ERA of 2.70 with a whip of 1.39 and 39 strikeouts in 26 2/3 innings pitch. Ooh, that is a lot. Now let's get to our position players. Couldn't bring up Randy Arozarena. Brought him up a few weeks prior, so let's go to Manuel Margot, a right fielder for the Tampa Bay Rays. In the 2020 postseason, Manuel has had a batting average of .256, an OPS of 0.9. 67 in the regular season. He had a batting average of .269, an OPS of 0.7679, and an OPS plus of 91. G-Man Choi, a first baseman for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's our next guy we're going to talk about in the 2020 postseason. Choi has had a batting average of .290, an OPS of 0.952. In the regular season, he had a batting average of .230, OPS of 0.741, an OPS plus of 106. Now let's get to our Dodgers pitchers. Walker Buehler, starting pitcher for the Dodgers. Of course, in his last outing, Walker went 6 innings, pitched 7 hits, 0 runs, 6 strikeouts. Amazing in the 2020 postseason. Walker has 19 innings pitched with an ERA of 3.44, whip of 1.37, 17 strikeouts. In the regular season, he had an ERA of 2.84, whip of 0.95, and 42 strikeouts and 36 and 2/3 innings pitched. Dustin May, starting pitcher for the Dodgers, got a little trouble in the last outing. 1 inning pitch, 1 hit, 1 earned run, 1 strikeout. He got out of it. He can handle himself. He's a grown man. Until the 2020 postseason, Dustin has 7 2/3 innings pitched with an ERA of 2.35, a whip of 1.43, and 10 strikeouts. In the regular season, he had an ERA of 2.57, whip of 1.09, and 44 strikeouts in 56 innings. I was going to go with the relief pitcher, but I had to go to Dustin May. He could be in relief a lot. He's going to be a starter. Might not get that many innings, but he's good. Young stud, amazing, red, curly hair. Awesome position players. Let's get to Corey Seager. Of course, have to talk about Corey Seager, shortstop for the Dodgers. In the 2020 postseason, Corey has had a batting average of .298, OPS of 1.124. In the regular season, he had a batting average of .307, OPS of 0.943, and OPS plus of 152. AJ Pollock, outfielder, center fielder, was left fielder for the last few days for the Dodgers. And last few games, and in the 2020 postseason, AJ has hit a batting average of .229, OPS of 0.527. In the regular season, he had a batting average of .276, OPS of 0.881, and an OPS plus of 134. Now let's get to Pablo's pick, and we're going to talk about the mirror matchup. Dodgers catcher Will Smith versus Braves relief pitcher known as, Will Smith. Will Smith versus Will Smith, and Pablo loves the hitting matchups and the mirror matchups. And so you're probably thinking about yourself, what? Pablo's just talking about two guys have the same name who are, you know, playing against each other. It's not just that, because Will Smith hits a home run off Will Smith, and if you're still a little confused, the catcher for the Dodgers hits a home run off the pitcher for the Braves. Mirror matchup ends in a ball in the seats in the stadium. It's out of here. Not out like out, but out like a home run, baby, because Will Smith homered off Will Smith, and we love it. Confused? Maybe you are. I am. Will Smith, amazing. Which one? Both. But Will Smith gets the better of Will Smith in this one as Will Smith hits a home run. Good job, Will Smith. Love saying that name. Pablo loves it too. He's chuckling back here. Thank you, Pablo the Pigeon. That's all we got for our personal players of the week, our players to watch for in the World Series, and Pablo's pick. Oh, yeah. So let's get to the break. I'm going to get a little bit of water, a little parched right now, but I'll be back. I'll be rejuvenated, and we'll be ready to talk about the World Series. Yes, the World Series. I'm excited. You're excited. Let's get down to it right after the break. Remember, this is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. We'll be right back. Woo! Hello, we are back. This is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu 102.3 FM, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. Yes, now let's get to our upcoming matchups, and not just any upcoming matchups. The upcoming matchups for the World Series, our last stop in our amazing playoff journey. Our last stop. Now let's get to it. The World Series is a best of seven series. So the first team to get four wins in the first four games wins. And will win the Commissioner's Trophy. The series will have days off, unlike the Divisional and Championship Series, which did not have any days off. And also first team to get four wins. If that wasn't clear. Sorry. And now all these games will be played at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Game one will be on Tuesday, October 20th. Mark the calendars. And if Game 6 and Game 7 are required, they will take place on... Game 6 will be on Tuesday, October 27th. And if a Game 7 is necessary, it will be October 28th, which is that next day, the Wednesday. Now that the stage is set, our teams are selected. They have earned the right to be here. The two best teams in the major leagues going tiptoe, toeing off with each other. Now let's get to it. The Tampa Bay Rays will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. And these Dodgers have the home field advantage. They have the best record. Now let's get into game one. The Rays have their starter listed to be Tyler Glasnow. The Dodgers have their starter listed to be Clayton Kershaw. Oh, yeah. Game two, the Rays have their starter listed as Blake Snell, and the Dodgers... Blake Snell. And the Dodgers have their starter listed as to be determined at this moment. As for the rest of the starters for the rest of these games, that's all listed as to be determined at the moment. Understandable, of course. Take your time, teams. Think of the best strategy possible. I could wait. Now let's talk about the keys to victory for the Rays in the series. It involves their offense. I mean, Randy Arozarena has been great, along with Manuel Margot, been good, but they need some backup. I said this last time, and they barely got backup. Okay, but I'll say it again, because we all know they're listening. They have the right players to have a successful offense. Their position players like Brandon Lowe, Willy Adames, Austin Meadows, he's great. They're all great. They have potential. All these guys are great to be key players in a successful Rays lineup. They're doing good. They need to help Zunino and Margot and Arozarena to do it. And this is not a pushover of a pitching staff that the Dodgers have. It is one of the best in the world. So there's no time for lollygagging around and messing around. They got to get their act together because this offense hasn't been as good as it could be. So that is one key. And another key, if their offense isn't quite producing, which it really hasn't been as much as it should be, is the pitching staff. Their pitching staff is very impressive. They got Charlie Morton, Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Ryan Yarbrough, and Glasnow and Snell could be lights out when they're on, but from time to time, they can give up a few runs. Their bullpen is also very good. It has many talented pitchers such as Nick Anderson, Diego Castillo, and Pete Fairbanks. If they can shut down this offense in the late innings of the game, and the Rays can stay in the game, and they can get kept in there by the bullpen and the pitching staff in general, could be very valuable for the Rays offense if they don't start out hot. But now, I'd like to talk about Tyler Glasnow, Blake Snell. A lot of these guys, they've been good. They don't go a lot of innings, though. The Rays have one of the best bullpens in the league, in the world. And the starting pitchers really need it because Snell and Tyler Glasnow, for elite pitchers, they're only going to go 5 or 6 innings, if that. Maybe if they're lights out, they're going more, but they're not going that deep into games, so they need all the help they can get. And the Dodgers will feast on these bullpen guys after seeing them so many days in a row, and they can go to town on these guys. So let's hope that Glasnow and Blakesnow can be on, be lights out for the Keys for the Rays if you're rooting for them. If you're a Dodgers fan, maybe you don't hope that Tyler Glasnow and Blakesnow are on. Charlie Morton has been so good. Oh my gosh, he's been amazing. You heard me talk about him earlier. He's been so good. He's been lights out. Amazing. Ryan Yarbrough puts up some good innings as well. But these starting pitchers need to get more innings. Even Morton can go more than, hopefully can go more than five for the Rays. Because they need that help. This is the first pitching staff that the Dodgers are going to face in the playoffs that has a full pitching staff and doesn't have anyone that's been injured off of the starting rotation, as far as I know. Could be, but I don't think so. That's good for the Rays. Could catch the Dodgers off guard, but we'll see. But it all depends on Snell and Glasnow doing it like they can, like they should be. They are great. If they are on, it's going to be so hard for the Dodgers. Also, the Rays have a great defense. They're good on all fronts. Bullpen's great. Pitching staff's pretty good. Great. And the offense is good. Not as good as the Dodgers, though. So let's talk about the Dodgers' key to the series for getting their offense going. That's the key. Rays have a very successful pitching staff. If you jump on those Rays and get some homers, get some runs scored early, psyching them out. That's done. It's demoralizing. That's crazy. That's what you could do to a team when you jump on them early sometimes. So let's see. If the Dodgers can dominate with that offense, then they could do it. The offense has to wake up, though, for this series. They've been good, but they have to keep it going. It has to be more than Seager, more than Belly and Mookie. They got to get deep with that lineup. They are deep. They're really good. They have so much depth in that team. One of the teams that has the most depth in baseball. So if anyone could do it and overcome the Rays pitching staff, it's the Dodgers. It's one of the only teams that might be able to do it. Other than the Astros, they're really good. Almost did it. It's the Dodgers. They can overcome them. And the offense is their strength. Play to your strength and beat the Rays and their pitching staff, which is their strength. You beat a team's strength with your strength, that's pretty good. And that would be great for the Dodgers. Now, we'll talk about their pitching as well, because it's very important. They got Clayton Kershaw, Buehler with the blister blues. He seems like he's doing really good with it right now. But don't want to jinx him. Going to knock on wood right now for the Dodger fans out there. But they got Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, young guys. Dustin May got roughed up a little bit. So did Tony Gonsolin. And their bullpen has been a lot better. It talks about how much their bullpen has upgraded. Game 7, so much of that bullpen came in so clutch for the Dodgers. Blake Treinen, really good. If he keeps going lights out, keeps helping save some of these Dodger guys, it'll be great for them. Bruce Starkrad, just watch him pitch. It's amazing. Slider's good. The fastball is amazing. So watch out for him. And the Dodgers have a great team, so let's see what happens then. And I'll catch you up on that next week. But just in case, if this series ends before Sunday or on Sunday, I'll let you know what we're going to do for next week and for the offseason. Because a lot of people are wondering, asking, what's going to happen, DJ Grandmaster Slam? And I'll tell you right now. So once the 2020 MLB season is over, we'll talk about interesting storylines from the teams, taking a look back at interesting things that happened with team storylines in the 2020 season. What might have hurt teams, what could have helped them in the long run. We'll talk about that. And we'll talk about the hires, the fires, and the roster moves that that the teams could make. They could make. Of course, we'll talk about what moves teams do make in free agency, hires and fires and such. And we'll get into that. And also, one of my favorite parts that I am looking forward to is rejuvenating some of you guys, getting you hyped up for the next season. Talking about some breakout stars that came up this year, that can come up next year. Talk about some people to look forward to all the heartbroken fans. Because there's 29 teams that are going to have some heartbroken fans. So I'm going to cheer you up, talk about those teams, who can be breakout stars, who can have possible amazing comeback stories, and I'll talk to you guys all about that. But we'll get into that next week for sure after covering the World Series games. But remember, this is The Cutoff Man with DJ Grandmaster Slam, only on Penguin Radio. That is radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. And that is all for this week. And I will see you guys next time. Have a great week. I'll see you next week. Bye.